Welcome to Season 3 of the UK Virtual School Podcast with your host, Sid, educational disruptor and founder of the first online school that dares to be different. Our third season marks the end of the third academic year, where we interview parents, students and teachers who are part of the UK Virtual School family. If you are new to our podcast, please do check out the golden gems from seasons 1 and 2. Now, this podcast is for homeschoolers, home educators, world schoolers, and those parents seeking for an alternative that is effective, flexible, and high quality. If this sounds like you, why not join us in disrupting education as we know it and creating a legacy of learning that's full of passion and enthusiasm. Welcome to the UK Virtual School Podcast. Welcome to another podcast. This is going to be called Teaching English the UK VS Way, a spotlight on Elizabeth. So at UK Virtual School, we do things differently, we look at assessment differently. And I wanted to really touch base with Elizabeth because she's been with us for a few years now. And she is one of the older members of staff. She's not old, but she's been here the longest, which makes her the older member of staff. She's had fantastic exam results this year. So we wanted to touch base with her and kind of explore how she teaches the UK VS way, because we do take a different approach, to learn a little bit about her and to learn her approach as well, so you guys can actually apply this in your homeschooling as well. So welcome, Elizabeth.
That was a very warm introduction. Thank you, Sid. In fact, I have been with the UK VS for 3 years now. 3 years and a bit. I am the oldest member of staff and I am very proud of that. Thank you very much.
And you've seen the cohort all the way through now. So how exciting is that?
I know, because I've been with these kids since they were in year 9. It's just so fascinating at the end. It's just so moving as well, you know, to see students who come in a little bit apprehensive, a little bit worried, and then they end up having these amazing results. You feel like you have, you know, done something good, something that has worked. So I'm very, very proud of them and myself, you know, as an extension.
Yeah, you should be, because we did do things differently. And I know a lot of parents become slightly worried and concerned that we're not constantly grading essays and we're not constantly looking at assessment the same way. But I think it's really reassuring to get the results that we have got. And for one of the students to also have sat the English exams 2 years earlier is quite incredible. So Elizabeth, let's start off with a little bit of background on you. Tell us a little bit about you as a person.
I lived in the UK after I finished my studies. I studied in Greece in the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki. I really, really enjoyed that because I studied English language and literature, and literature was my favorite thing. It was since high school, really, because I did literature in Greek. I just, you know, always thought it was so interesting to look at different interpretations of one single phrase in a poem, of one single word in a poem. Anyway, so I ended up working in the UK for about 5 years as a teacher. And then I just wanted to come back to Greece because I just wanted to reunite with my family and just to enjoy the food and the weather. I'm not going to lie. It's a huge thing. It's a huge part of our life, isn't it? So I did come back. And then during COVID, I was a little bit concerned because I just thought that, you know, well, there was a lot going on. And I did want something fresh, and I missed teaching literature and English a lot. So I thought, why not try something in the virtual world? And I found you.
UK Virtual School has changed a lot in 3 years. How has that been for you, being there right at the beginning when we were hardly known by anyone?
Well, one thing that I really liked from the very beginning was the freedom that you gave me to teach in the way I thought the best. And that meant that I could just be myself and I could just do my thing and I could just be more myself with the students as well, which led to brilliant discussions in class. It led to a discussion-based lesson. This is what ultimately gave us these results. The fact that we just talked about these texts, the fact that we enjoyed ourselves.
It works.
It does. It works. Yeah, it works. They still have to do a lot of writing. They still have to write essays. Don't get things wrong. They always write an essay. Each week, they will have to come to class with an essay on what was discussed the previous week. And we just have a very discussion on what they have said. And I just like it a lot when I give students the opportunity to mark each other's work, but not really mark it. Just give them feedback. Feedback is a gift, you know, as they say. That cliche is actually true, though. So I always make them give the others an EBI, even better if, and a WWW, which stands for what went well. We actually like to start with the what went well part, and then we move on to the even better if. Just to, you know, and that's not mine. I shouldn't take credit. It's something we used in my previous school. And I thought it was very, very, well, fruitful. It worked.
And I think the beauty of it doing it that way is that you're getting kids to think very critically about each other's work. And through that process, they're also learning. If you look at Bloom's taxonomy, the highest level of learning is when you're teaching someone else. So being able to give feedback to someone else is just amazing because it stretches them.
So that is something that I always tell my students. I really like that you mentioned that. Bloom's taxonomy, yes. I always like to tell them, you know, you do learn the most when you teach something to somebody else. And they're like, oh, really? Studies have shown that this is what happens. If you teach something, this is how you learn it. Yeah. And when they do look at each other's work, they know what they should be working towards. They know what they should avoid. So we take a good amount of time in the lesson to work on that, to read through their work and to give feedback.
The amazing thing about being able to do this online is that you can connect with so many different kids from different backgrounds, from different abilities. And we also allow kids to be matched to ability groups, which means that you can have different ages in the same class. So how has that experience been for you, where you've got a student that might be actually a year seven student, but you've got someone that's much younger, a few years younger, and you've got kids that are a little bit older. How did you make that work in your class?
You know, you'd think that it wouldn't work, but actually kids are very, very easy to adapt. I think they learn a lot from each other, regardless of the age.
The ability-wise, they're matched. So that's a good starting point, right? So ability-wise, they're matched. It's just that the ages are different.
It's interesting that, well, my youngest student was actually my best student. He wrote the best essays. So in a way, it's not about the age. It's about the maturity that comes. You know, it's a little bit like adults, isn't it? It's not very different.
Yeah, and it's very strange that we put kids into peer groups and we expect them to stay in those peer groups throughout like 15 years of their life, when actually the level of maturity differs so much from child to child. And I think that's the biggest disservice we can do to kids. Let's go back to teaching English the UKVS way. So what are the main factors, do you think, that makes UKVS unique from other places that you've worked in before? Like, what is the UKVS way when it comes to English?
The UKVS way is talk it out, the talk it out way. Looking at these texts, but looking at them with a mind of discovery. Like, we look at them to see what was actually what the intention was behind what the writer wanted to say, what the writer wrote.
It's like the value of curiosity coming through there, right?
Exactly, yeah. And I think that when you, as a teacher, show your students that you are very curious to find out what they think about a specific poem, a specific text. And we're very lucky because the exam board that we do has super texts, I'm telling you. It has brilliant fiction and non-fiction texts. We are very lucky like that, because it gives us the opportunity to work on something cool, something interesting, something that the kids like. And I think this is why they achieved such good scores, because the exam board also helps.
You say that, but then the results across the entire country said something completely different. Like, we were probably an anomaly, because the kids didn't do as well across the country in English. Which is interesting, right? I didn't know this until someone told me when I shared the results online, and someone said, well, the news are saying the complete opposite, Sid. Like, everyone else hasn't done so great this year in GCSEs. And so we have much better compared to a lot of other places, and we're fairly new to this, right? Well, I say new. I think the level of experience that all the teachers bring to the table, and also my experience working with home eders, actually puts us a lot further apart than most places. But yeah, we did quite well compared to all the other students across the country, which is amazing, right?
It is. I didn't know that, to be honest. I think I live in my own little bubble where I just focus on what I have to do. And
we do at UKVS, right?
Yeah, I think you do, because, you know, when you're online, it's just, you just do your thing. Well, I was thinking, because you asked me about what is the UKVS way? What is this? What is the UKVS that makes such good results? It's looking at model answers, really. It's looking at the students' answers, but also looking at their answers as model answers, looking at what has worked well on that particular very good answer. What is it that you can take from that and you can implement in your work? Then automatically do it. Do you know what I mean? At that very same moment, look at your work and see how you can implement that into your own work. And we like to do that a lot. Just take a moment, or take like 2, 3, 5 minutes, however long as they need. I do not like to put time frames. I like to say, you know, take your time and let's just work on that for a bit. Let's see how long we need. It doesn't matter. Just take as long as you need. See how you can do something similar to what the other student did. See how you can take that method that they have used and use it in your own work. And then let's just share. And it makes a huge difference when you see somebody's work before and after, you know, the before and after effect. This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. And the after is just basically looking at what somebody else in class did. So it's not your, well, it is, you know, it is your teaching at the beginning. You do give them a frame. You do give them a writing frame. You give them a few phrases. Of course you do. You have to, you know, you have to give them some inspiration. But after a few, you know, efforts, after a few attempts, it just becomes second nature to them as well. You see these phrases that you have taught them, and you see them using different words, and you see them stealing words one from the other. I love that. And we like to, you know, point it out, like, oh, Edward, I can't believe you used that word. This is a word that Belle normally uses.
And I think that's the beauty of working collaboratively and not seeing each other as competition. And it comes from that growth mindset philosophy, where we're enjoying the journey and enjoying the process, and not so focused on the end result. But the end results naturally come as a result of enjoying the process. And what you've described there is really enjoying the English language process of dissecting a text, looking at each other's, borrowing stuff, stealing even from each other, and then growing from it, right? Not actually kind of going, right, this is my text, I'm not going to share it with anyone. This is what I'm going to do. I want to get a better grade than anyone else in the class. And when you take that element of competition out, I think students can really thrive. And it's the same as if you think about how companies thrive, it's when teams work really well together. And I think we don't take that team approach when it comes to teaching as much in a mainstream school.
I think that very, very soon UKVS students realize that the only person they have to compete is themselves, you know? And I think they do. They know that. They know that very soon, especially, I mean, in my classes, they know it, because they have to constantly improve on what they have done, as we said.
Yeah. And that's the UKVS way, the growth mindset, the curiosity, the innovation, where they're applying that in an English context, where they're innovating their own answers. They're taking ideas that they wouldn't normally use and making it their own, right? That's a form of innovation for them. And then the final one, the diversity and inclusion. How do you use that in your English classes? Because that plays a prominent part in your classes, right?
Yeah, diversity and inclusion. Well, to begin with, I'm Greek. You can hear my accent. Like, there's a lot of diversity here to begin with. And I like to, you know, just show them that it doesn't matter where you're from. You can still do whatever you like. You know, it doesn't matter what your background is. You can still achieve the best results. It's interesting because this student of mine, his name is John. He hated English. He hated it. When he joined in year 7, he really disliked English. And he kept saying that to me in the first few lessons. And then little by little, he had a talent in analyzing the texts. He just had a talent. He was just very, very good at doing that. And he said, wow, I can't believe I'm actually good at this. And I said, yeah, you are. You just have to believe in yourself and you just have to accept it. When you have been labeled, not talented in something, you have to believe it, because it comes from an outer source. It comes from others labeling you as not good in that, especially when you're a teenager. It's just, you know, you're very, very vulnerable, aren't you? But then once you get in that, once you get in the classes, once you start looking at something from a different perspective, you start looking at something with this growth mindset, you realize that there's no such thing as being good or bad at something. It's just trying, and then trial and error, or, you know, try again, you're going to try again, and then you're going to improve it. And this student of mine, John, actually achieved a grade nine in English.
Wow, that's amazing. I think a lot of kids come in to UK virtual school with a perception of what a subject looks like. Because I remember, I know she's not your student, but there's a student in primary school who used to hate poetry, just hated it. Because they had a bad experience at school with a poem, didn't like it, then labelled all poetry the same and thought that this is what it's going to be like forever, right? And I think when we dispel that myth, when it's not as it should be, they kind of get really confused because they expect things to be one way and then they're different and then they start liking it and then they relabel themselves and say, oh, well, actually, I like poetry now, because they're kind of shocked what it actually is. And a lot of it relies on the teacher showing the passion and being passionate about what they're teaching, because if they're bored with the subject they're teaching, it shows. And then the students pick up on that. I think we can hear your passion in your voice about how much you love English, and you're just a whiz at languages, because not only do you do English with us, you also teach Spanish.
I do, yeah. It's interesting that you're talking about poetry, because it's very, very similar in secondary. Normally, when I say to my students, so next term we are doing poetry, everyone's eyes go like, they roll their eyes, or they go like, oh no, why is she making us do this? And then I always say to them, guys, I promise you, it's going to become your favorite topic to study. And then by the end of our poetry term sessions, they produce their own poem. But the way it works is you give them the freedom to just be themselves, to the point where I had a student write a poem about a pen. Literally, he wrote a poem about a pen, the pen on my desk. It's there, it's sitting there. And I can't remember the poem exactly, but it's interesting, because then we just talked about it in class, and I said, what do you think the poet's intentions are? Why is he writing about this pen? And we ended up saying that it's all about the exam anxiety. This poem about this pen was actually about the exam anxiety and how, you know, it kind of paralyzes you. Point being that they find creativity, they find inspiration that they didn't know that they had. Once they relax and they realize that it's not about the grade, it's not about, as you said earlier, competing each other. It's not about that. It's about finding yourself in this subject, if that makes sense.
And I think with a subject like English, English is like art. Art is like also like all the creative subjects. You can really learn to express yourselves. And even in art, like I get really confused when students come to us with a very traumatic experience in school around art, because their teacher has said, you can't do art. And English is exactly the same. They come with that traumatic experience, and then we kind of allow them to express themselves, just like you said, and they make it their own subject, and they really start thriving in it. So what would be your kind of top tips around developing good English language practice for a student? If they were new to it and they wanted to start working towards GCSE, where would they start and what would they do?
I would say the first tip would be drop everything you know about English. Start from zero. Start from scratch, in the sense that forget about what you knew, forget about what you thought you knew, and then start with a new mentality. You might find, or you will find, I think, that you're really, really good at it instinctively, intuitively. You just know what to do. You just know what to write. The knowledge is in you. The inspiration, the creativity, everything you need is in you. Yeah. And it will just appear when you are ready. It's weird. It sounds a little bit vague.
No, I think it's true, because what you're doing in class is you're not telling them what to write. you're giving them the tools to be able to take out of them.
Yeah, you cannot tell them what to write. You constantly have to inspire them to ask their own questions and to give their own interpretation of something. And then they learn how to come up with new interpretations because of the way others interpret things. And we're like, oh my God, what was that idea now? Where did that come from? This is my favorite thing in English. I'm like, I never thought of that. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I really like to hear new things. And this is why it doesn't get boring for me. It's never boring. Like, I look at the same text, right? Because I've been doing the IGCSE spec for a while now, and I'm looking at the same text, but every time it's different because the students' interpretations are different. I keep saying that to them. I'm very excited. It doesn't matter that I've seen this before. I'm looking at this, you know, as a new thing with you because your ideas are different.
And this comes back to the diversity and inclusion and the fact that we celebrate that we're all unique. I think that celebration of us being unique makes the students feel comfortable bringing their ideas forward because they can be completely different to someone else's, and it's fine. We're expecting that. While in a school environment, in a traditional school environment, they're all meant to be the same. They dress the same. They act the same. They're expected to give the same answers. They're expected to behave the same. And so that the inspiration and that creativity isn't quite there because it's not nurtured.
That's true. I kind of like to say to them, well, think about this as if you were that person. Like, you know, if you have, for instance, John. Yeah, if you have John and Stacy in class, you'd say, Stacy, think about it. Think about giving me an answer as if you were John. Think with his mind for a moment. And it's kind of humorous, obviously, but it works because they know, because when they see each other's answers, they know the way that John would approach the answer. And they think, oh, well, actually, maybe that's the kind of, you know, inspiration that I needed. Not copy John, but think about the way he would answer. Take some ideas from the other person. Take the style, maybe. Or think about how he talks about the structure of the poem. You talk about the language of the poem. Can we combine that? Or can you think about what something that he would say? And then
I love that as a tip, being able to look at things through different person's perspective and eyes. What else do you think in terms of what if someone doesn't like reading or doesn't like writing? How would you tackle those kind of situations?
I'm thinking that, you know, everybody's so unique and not everybody has to like reading. You know, it's fine. I mean, for instance, when I see very long descriptions in books, I kind of hate it. Like, you know, some people love these descriptions of the forest or the wind or this and that. And I'm like, oh God, no. Especially when I'm interested in what is going on. I just don't like this. What I mean is, you don't have to like reading. You will have to read a little bit, but ultimately, you don't have to love it, but when you do it, you will kind of like the text anyway. You will like the fact that you will have to talk about it.
You learn to love it, right? You learn to love it.
You learn to love it. Yeah, you could say so.
Yeah, you don't have to love it instantly, but it grows on you eventually over time, especially if you're doing it over 3 years, right?
The good thing with this exam board is that you don't have to do that much reading. But writing, yes, you will have to, I'm afraid.
Are there any tips on getting ready for exams? What is your style? Because I've heard a lot of ideas that you told me behind the scenes, but for the audience, they haven't heard about the way that you approach exam practice and you approach revision. So what would be your tips around that?
My top tip would be to look at modal answers, basically. Just look at what works. Examine in detail why something works. And once you know why this modal answer works, you know what you need to do. My next top tip would be just, you know, exam practice. Well, you know the tips. I mean, it's very similar. When it comes to exams at the end, towards the end of year 11, you will have to look at past papers, I'm afraid, you know. It's what works. And it's what gets the students in the mentality of the exam. And it's what gets them used to doing it. So my students, for instance, this year, the students who achieved top grades, when they went in the exams, they were actually students who stressed a lot over exams. And when they went in, the messages that I got after were like, oh, you know, I went in the exam and somehow I remember that, like quoting my student right now, somehow I was the least worried person in the room, the least stressed person in the room. And that came because they had actually, you know, completed every past paper, like literally every past paper.
It's the preparation that goes behind the scenes, right? When they're so prepped up, then they, whatever's thrown in their way, they'll be familiar with some sort of concepts around that.
And, you know, there are ways around creative writing, because they will have to produce a piece of creative writing as well. And I know this stresses a lot of people. I know it would stress me a lot. But there are ways of just, you know, doing that quite easily in the exam as well.
Well, it seems to work, and the results have been fantastic. And now it's hard now because we have to maintain that level of fantastic results. When we've achieved that high in the first year, it's going to be very difficult to maintain that going forward, right? So next year is going to be interesting to see.
I'm not very worried because we have very good students this year.
We do. We did. All our students work really hard. And we're proud of them because the when they join us and where they end up going, it's just fantastic, the journey that they come on. And so we don't focus so much on the results, but the results are always the icing on the cake, right? And so it's nice to showcase what the journey that they've gone on and then where they've come out the other end. And in this year's case, it's been fantastic. But every child comes in at a different point with us. And so we're not always going to be expecting eights and nines every single year from every single child, because that's not the journey they're on.
Yeah. And I mean, the way UKVS works, where you can join, you know, later in the year, you can join whenever works for you. You don't always expect great results, but we did have a student this year who joined very late and she achieved brilliant results as well. I think it's because of the videos, because of the one-way videos that they get.
Because they can go back and recap and revise and look through stuff, and you can't really do that when you're in school environment. If you miss a lesson, you've lost the content. And so I think the ability to kind of go back and recap, and we've got fantastic teachers, like you're amazing. We've got amazing secondary teachers. And I think combined all of your talents together, and the fact that our students are raring to go and the parents are so supportive, I think all of that combination just is a really good ingredient for success in the long term anyway. And success looks different for everyone. For some kids, it's just about building confidence in that subject. For other kids, it's about getting to a point where they can then go on to college and then do their exams there. For other kids, it's just about being in an environment where they're able to get to a point where they can turn the camera on and speak. So I think success is so different for every child. For our kids, the ones that did the exams this year, they wanted to get the results because they wanted to carry on with A-levels and then go on to uni. And so success looked like grades for them. But we didn't focus so much on that. We focused on the journey, and then the end results have come, which is brilliant.
And you made me think of John again, who, you know, started in year seven hating English so much. And now he's asking me, can I do A-level? Can I do A-level English? And I'm like, yes, of course you should. You should go ahead and do it because you're just so good at it.
We've had students that are wanting to stay on because we only go up to year 11 at the moment. They've been wanting to do A-levels with us. And I'm like, yeah, maybe not yet. Let's settle in first. We've only been running for 3 years, but this is our first cohort that has done a 3-year GCSE with us. So we've only been running for 3 years. How does it feel like for you from being involved right from the beginning?
Things have changed a lot. I mean, you're just putting a lot more pressure on us, but in a good way. Pressure that actually, no, I'm joking, obviously. Not joking and not joking. You're just making us better each year. You're making us more organized as teachers. You kind of motivate us more as well, you know?
There's lots of exciting stuff that's coming up, right?
Yeah.
You sound slightly nervous.
I am, because, you know, despite the fact that I've been with the UKVS for 3 years, every year I still have to do more things and I still want to do different things. I always like to improve. I was just telling you before we started, I want to work on my year seven, you know, curriculum plan, and I am working on it right now. I was thinking maybe combine space exploration with sentence and grammar and vocabulary practice, and I'm just very excited to do that because I like to improve on what I have as well, you know.
And that's part of the learning. I think if we're constantly doing the same thing over and over and over again, something's not going to be right because the students change every year and we have different dynamics and you're growing as a person. So you want to do things differently because you realize who you were 3 years ago is a very different person to who you are now. And that growth comes from experiences with the kids, but also experiences in your personal life. And then as that growth comes, you mature and you improve and you bring different aspects to the table as well. And so I think it's about staff improvement as well as student improvement over those 3 years.
I really like that. I really like what you're saying. It's true. Because I was thinking, as I said before we started, I was looking at this and I was working on it on my year 7 PowerPoint. And I was thinking, what do I do? How do I change it? And then what you're saying now is just making me realize that it's just so, so positive that I want to do this. It means I am growing. It means I'm learning. It means I want to improve on what I have.
And also, you've gone through a lot of change this past year. We had a new addition to the UKVS family. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, of course. Well, I had a baby girl. And she's just amazing. Yeah.
Super excited. I think that's our second UKVS baby. I think Kate had the first one, and then you've had the second one, and then our admin department is going to have the third one, which is super exciting, I think.
And Jerome has been with us for such a long time. He feels like family to me. I'm so, 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 so excited. I can't wait because I think he's having a girl as well. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he was there before you, right? It was just me and him at the beginning and one teacher at the beginning. So that there was me, one other teacher and Jerome. That's how UK Virtual School started.
Jerome is a legend.
He is. And yeah, I think it's amazing that we support each other and we kind of grow from that. And I think motherhood has suited you so well. You've grown so much as a person and I see you so happy and blossoming. And even Jerome pointed that out when he was editing your videos. He's like, yeah, Elizabeth's so happy at the moment.
Wow.
So it shows. And I think having that 3 weeks on and then a week holiday really helps.
I keep saying to everyone I see, I keep saying that everybody should work that way, that the world should work that way. You know, everyone should take that 1 week off. It means so much. It means I get to do things. It means I get to reflect on what I have done. I just take a moment to breathe and to think and to start fresh, you know.
I think the kids feel the same way. And they, like, people talk about a four-day work week. And I'm like, forget about a 4 day work week, because then you're breaking up the week in half and your weekend, like, okay, it's three days, but 3 days you can't really do anything. You still can't go away for that much. Just add it at the end of the month and have a 3 week structure.
I very much prefer it like that, yeah. Because then with the 3 days of break, you're kind of getting the zone of a holiday, but the moment you get in that, you're pulled out again. So that would create maybe chaos for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm the same way. You get into a rhythm of working and then you have 3 days. And then you have to come back into it. So no, I think the 3 week structure works really well. And it's something that we're going to always stick with.
It works very well for the students as well. They love it. Yeah, they love it because they take a moment to just, as I said, reflect on everything that was said and maybe take a bigger project to bring in class.
They also start missing the lessons, which I always think is a great thing, because too much of a good thing isn't a good thing after a while because it's so easy to get, right? But if you do 3 weeks and you have a break and they've been really enjoying the classes, then they start missing it and they want more of it. And so they come back the next month really excited to do some more learning, which is the right level of kind of engagement and then kind of pulling back at that good thing from them, which is a learning. I think it works really well. I was going to say, we've got something exciting coming up for the staff this year where we're hoping to kind of meet up in a location for the first time. Who are you looking forward to seeing in person?
James.
James. James is our Latin classical teacher. He's amazing.
And we have this new teacher, the Turkish? Is he Turkish?
Hakan. Yeah, he's Turkish.
He seems so interesting. I do want to spend hours talking to him, having philosophical conversations or, you know, mathematical conversations even, because we did have the staff meeting the other day and everyone was just so fascinated. They were like, oh, just tell us more. We want to hear more from you.
I need to get him in for a podcast interview because I think he'll be so inspirational. He'll just go off on a tangent talking about maths, because it was you that made the comment that you don't see the, or you don't appreciate physics, why we have to learn physics in our lives. And then he came up with an answer of why it's everywhere, which I thought was amazing. And so, yeah, I think he could even get you to love maths, just like you get your students to love English.
I think he did, because the way he described this crime scene, I'm very, very interested in criminology. So
this is what's so exciting about our teachers. They're all very inspirational people and they love their subjects. And James is so enthusiastic about his, and Hakan is enthusiastic about his.
I also look forward to meeting Eloise, because every kid loves Eloise. I don't know what she does to them. Like, I want to get in her mind for a moment. What's the recipe? Everyone loves Eloise. Everybody talks about her.
She's got a really cool subject though that she does, which makes life easier.
But she's such a sweet person, isn't she?
Who do you think is going to shock you the most when you meet them? Because they're not going to be what you expect them to be.
I don't think anyone is what you is someone else from what I expect. I don't think there will be any shock.
But like, I was surprised when I met Hope. Hope's one of our students who's been with us for 3 years. She's taller than me. I was super surprised by that. Like, I did not expect that. So I know Eloise isn't very tall, but I think I'm probably going to be shocked by people's heights.
I'm very tall.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
We're going to have to do like a video when we first meet, like everyone's first reactions with everyone.
Yeah, just put everyone one next to the other and be like, did you know that this is the UKVS teacher's height?
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for chatting with me today.
Thank you. I really, really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the UK Virtual School podcast with your host, Sid. I look forward to having you join me again soon. In the meantime, if you're considering online schooling to take away the stress of having to plan and structure everything yourself, why not head over to our website, www.ukvirtualschool.com. You can join in our next online open day or book in a Zoom meeting with me to discuss options. I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye.